Now our conversation turns to a global hotspot, Aceh in Indonesia. This weekend, the Indonesian government abandoned peace talks with separatist rebels in that province and declared martial law there. President Megawati Sukarnoputri declared the peace process at an end when the rebels refused to give up the idea of independence. This province has long troubled the Indonesian government. For decades, the nation's leaders have attempted to quash separatist ambitions. The often brutal military interventions in Aceh have alienated many of the citizens there. Joining us to talk about the people of Aceh is Jeffrey Winters, a professor of political economy at Northwestern University, the author of Power in Motion, Capital Mobility in the Indonesian State. Professor Winters joins us by phone from Chicago. Good of you to be back on Talk of the Nation, sir.
Thank you very much.
What led the Indonesian government to crack down? A military intervention began today in Aceh.
Well, this follows a five-month cessation of hostilities and a last-minute effort in Tokyo to try to negotiate. And I think the reason the breakdown happened is because the military in Indonesia was eager to get back into the conflict, in part because their view is that they feared that the Acehnese were using this cessation of hostilities brokered by the international community as an opportunity to build up followers and possibly increase their access to arms. And at the same time, it should be added that the Indonesian military has not been happy about the cessation of hostilities all the way along. So they've consistently had what is in Indonesia called a security approach, meaning using violence to try to solve this. And so we are really back to a normal relationship with regard to how this has been handled. The peace process has only been intermittent in Aceh.
Now, Indonesia is a huge and enormously populous country. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about Aceh. Where is it? What's the foundation of the economy? What distinguishes the people there from the rest of Indonesia?
Right. Indonesia, just to give people an idea, is an archipelago country of many, many thousands of islands, and the vast majority of the population lives on about 12 of those islands. It's about the size of the United States in terms of area, and Aceh is the westernmost tip of that archipelago. It's at the northern part of the island of Sumatra. It has about 4 million people in all. It's A lot of that is jungle area, but it also happens to be one of the richest provinces in all of the Indonesian archipelago, but a strange kind of richness because it's rich in natural resources, but also one of the poorest populations, and that sort of gives you an idea of what the fundamental problem is. The Acehnese have basically been resisting being incorporated in the rest of the archipelago for 300 years. As the Dutch colonizers tried to take over Indonesia, one of the last areas they were able to control was Aceh because the resistance was so fierce. And now that resistance we're seeing, it's taken the form of a direct effort at independence for the last 27 years. And in terms of natural resources, the biggest and most lucrative is oil and gas, and in fact, Mobil Oil is the biggest international operator there, and that operation generates about $1 billion in royalties and revenues for the Indonesian government.
Now, how strong is support for the separatist movement on the ground in Aceh?
It's quite strong, and it's not supported at all in the rest of the Indonesian archipelago. And to understand why it's so strong, you need to go back really about 15 years. It used to be that the main complaint out of Aceh was that all of their natural resources were being stripped away by the central government in Jakarta under the dictatorship of General Suharto, with the backing of U.S. corporations in the United States government. But beginning in the late 80s, especially in 1988, the Suharto government decided to really try to crack down on the complaints and the rebellion in Aceh with severe military force. For 10 years, the Acehnese were killed on a massive scale. There are mass graves in the province. Women were raped. People were disappeared in the middle of the night. And so the problem went from being material and a fight over resources to having a much deeper impact, and that is that people feel a deep injustice has been done to them, atrocities and so on. And that, in part, explains why the resolution of the problem is so difficult now, because Megawati's government and the government before that preceded hers has gone a long way toward sharing resources more with the province of Aceh, sharing the resources, especially from the mobile operation. But Megawati has not been able to deliver on one key thing, and that is justice for the people of the province in terms of putting military officers on trial for all of the atrocities they've endured.
Let's get a listener involved. James joins us on the line from Davidson, North Carolina.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
As I remember, back in August, Powell announced that the U.S. was going to restore some form of limited military ties with the Indonesian army, and part of that, if I remember correctly, involved $50 million, or maybe even $500 million, that the U.S. was going to send over there. I was curious if there were any concerns that that money, along with maybe the pretext of the war on terror, was being used to squash the Acehnese rebellion, and if so, what role the U.S. funding had in that, if any?
Jeffrey Winters?
Sure. It is true that the United States has been moving toward a much closer relationship with the Indonesian military. One of the things that Congress was demanding was that those especially involved in the atrocities in East Timor be put on trial, that there be reforms in the military. It turns out none of that has happened. And the fact that the United States, driven largely by terrorist concerns, has been willing to move back to a supportive position of the Indonesian military without any of the reforms really being in place has emboldened the Indonesian military, and that in part explains why they've been pushing Megawati very, very hard and with great success to turn this back into a military conflict. So basically, I think the Indonesian military understands that it can go ahead and be as brutal as it wants to be without much international consequence.
This after the other part of the context, of course, the huge and terrible explosion in Bali.
That's right, and there's no doubt that there are fundamentalists in the region. And by the way, it should be added that no country, this is very different from East Timor, no country in the world today backs independence for Aceh, whereas there were scattered countries and then eventually a majority of the countries around the world that supported independence for East Timor. But the United States and other countries have been pushing for a nonviolent approach to trying to settle Aceh because I think they understand that there's a lot of potential for a breakdown in insecurity in the region. One other quick thing to note is that I think the United States in particular does not want to see an independent Aceh in the region, and that in part has to do with the fact that the version of Islam in Aceh is more orthodox than the rest of Indonesia, and I think the U.S. in particular likes to see Aceh folded into a more moderate, broader Indonesia.
One more quick question for you, Jeffrey Winters, and we saw, obviously, East Timor, now Aceh. The other part of Indonesia that has been restive in recent years is the western part of the large island of New Guinea known as Irian Jaya. What's going on there?
Yes, I mean there you have another movement. It's interesting. Indonesia is sort of this resource-rich sandwich. I mean, at the eastern and western extremes are two of the richest provinces that have basically gotten nothing for decades and decades, and that's fueled rebellion. And the same is true in the Irian Jaya area, what's now called West Papua. And one of the things that concerns the Indonesians, the military, and not just Megawati, who, by the way, has this image of being sort of a motherly figure, but in fact is increasingly referred to as Madam Icebox because she's so cold on these issues and so willing to use force to hold the nation together. You've got these rebellions going on, and Indonesia is afraid, literally, of breaking apart into multiple countries. And so there is a sentiment across a fairly broad part of the population that even if they have to use military force to prevent these regions from breaking off, and again, remember, they're the richest areas that happen to be sparsely populated, the Indonesians, the vast majority of them, are not willing to tolerate it.
Jeffrey Winters, thanks very much for being with us today.
Sure.
Jeffrey Winters is the author of Power in Motion, Capital Mobility in the Indonesian State, and he joined us from Chicago, where he's a professor at Northwestern University. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.